You should find an outline in your bulletin. It should say, if Christ has not been raised, at the top, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. All those verses will appear as we go through the outline together. If Christ has not been raised. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word together. God, our Father, it's so needed that You speak to us. It's so necessary that we hear Your voice through these words. I can say many different things up here, and most of it would probably be not very beneficial. If it was just up to me to come up with something, to try and motivate, to try and encourage. So I'm dependent on what You've already written, the words that You've given us. These things that are true, these things that are reliable. Important enough that You would, that Your apostles would write these things down, that they would be preserved throughout history, with the ultimate goal that all nations would know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would turn to Him and worship, and rightfully so, that they would find salvation through Him. Pray that Your Word would do a mighty work among us as we consider it this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. If we were going to say that, you know, I want you to bring some baseball gear to the picnic. I want you to bring your uniform, get some good shoes, you know, get a good bat, and, you know, probably a hat and some sunglasses, and show up at the picnic ready to play ball, so to speak, right? But then you guys are all dressed up, you're ready to go, you've got your gear on, ready to play baseball, and you notice, well, there's no ball. Okay, well, we forgot the most important, really, part of baseball. Is you have to have a ball, right? You leave the ball out, you can't really roll, you can't play the game at all. It's absolutely necessary, right? If you left it out of the equation, then no baseball is going to be played. You can run around with all your gear, you can swing the bat, there's nothing to hit, there's nothing to pitch, there's nothing to catch. So you need the ball. And it's similar to say that you have Christianity with all the different aspects of it. And, you know, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You should, you know, attend a church, and you should listen to the Word of God being preached, and all these things. Whatever you're going to throw in that, you should sing the songs. All that stuff. If you did all that stuff and took out the resurrection from Christianity, it's like taking the ball away from baseball. You got nothing. You got nothing. If you're going to say, you know, well, dead people don't come out of a grave. You know, we're trying to think helpfully about things, and we have to say that that's impossible. That's a miracle, and that those things don't occur in reality. Well, you've taken the ball away, so to speak. You've taken the essential part out of the equation. That's the argument that Paul's going to make. Paul's going to say here, he's addressing the Corinthians, he has been for some time in this letter. And here in chapter 15, this whole chapter is about the resurrection. And he's just going to make a logical argument that's saying, you know, if you take the resurrection out of the picture, there's a lot of things that we have to say are going to take place. And that's where we find ourselves in verse 12. He just says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And he makes a helpful point. If Christ has not been raised, his body is still in the grave. And that's a significant problem for a Christian. And the commentator helpfully points out, if there's no such thing as resurrection, then Jesus himself did not triumph over death. If dead men don't rise, then Jesus is still dead. Presumably, the Corinthian heretics never intended to suggest that Jesus was still dead. But Paul is pressing the logic of their position in order to reveal its menace. Truth as it is in Jesus is a piece. It holds together with inner consistency. Whatever paradox is inherent in the truth, it is not self-contradictory. To deny that one linchpin of this truth is to dislocate the whole structure. Of course, the truth itself is not imperiled because it stands forever into eternity. But if men like those at Corinth decide to pick and choose which aspects of the truth they will accept, they will end up with no truth. This is nowhere more obvious than in the case of the resurrection. This attitude reveals in general the danger of coming to the person and work of Jesus with even one preconceived idea about what can and cannot be true, what can and cannot happen. This is frequently being done. Men don't rise from the dead, people say. Miracles don't happen. There is no life after death. You can't change human nature. The times I've heard this kind of thing are just so significant. This mythology is what people usually refer to me, how they say it to me. This mythology that Christ rose from the dead, and it's so important. Well, it is so important. Paul says it's the ball. You have to have the ball to play the game. If you're going to take away the ball, you can't play anymore. And I love this. Many Christians have never applied their faith either to their ordinary thinking or to their daily behavior. Likewise, those who deviate from the biblical truth must face up to the implications of what they assert and deny. You have to apply your faith to your ordinary thinking, to your daily behavior. Otherwise, the significance goes away. And why do I say that? I don't know when, but someday I'm going to face this thing called death. And it really does terrify me in a lot of ways. It really is scary to think about. I'm not going to be on the earth anymore. You know, I hope that's a long way out. I don't know. I'm coming up on 40 years old, and I'd like to think I'm at the halfway point. Well, if I live to 80 years old, I'm at the halfway. I don't know. I'm not guaranteed a life until 80 years old. I'm not guaranteed a life into next week. So this is an important issue, right? If I want to be here, which I do, I want to be on the earth. But there's this enemy that's called death. It's going to take me out. I can't dodge the bullet. I can't escape it. Because I've sinned, I'm going to go. So the wages of my sin is death. I have to pay those wages. That's a significant problem. And my whole life as it is right now, really, what does it mean if I'm not here? If I'm not here to experience the things like relationships within my family, if I'm not here to enjoy the material possessions that God has given me, the significance of those things, where is it for me? And if people are going to honestly tell me, this is just a myth. You've bought into a lie. You're accepting something really silly. That Jesus walked out of his own grave. Okay, you can come to me and you can say that. But then I might likely say to you, okay, where's your hope at? Because you have the same, you're in the same boat as me. You're going to have to face death too. How are you getting out of it? Are you going to freeze your body and hope that the technology someday can revive it? Honestly, what are you going to do about this problem? You're not. You're going to have to ignore it. You're going to have to sweep it under the rug. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to distract yourself in 100 different ways to get your mind off of it. So Paul is going to go down the list. He's only just begun. The first point he makes is, if Christ has not been raised, his body is still in the grave. He goes on in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Interesting, because I'm preaching right now. So if Christ has not been raised, you can go. I think Waffles and Caffeinated is open down here. So you can get yourself a really good chicken and waffle. It's really good. I happen to like those chicken and waffles down there. Really, because it's totally useless what I'm doing. I mean, that's hard to swallow. I don't believe that, obviously, or else I wouldn't be up here. I would be having chicken and waffles down there. But you see, it's totally useless to come and listen to somebody preach if Christ hasn't come out of the grave. It's really a waste of time. And Paul himself was a preacher. He's saying, I've chosen a really bad profession. If Christ has not been raised, what in the world am I spending my life doing? Why am I risking my life doing this stuff? Not only that, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is useless. Because what do you have faith in? You have faith in a God who couldn't raise Jesus up. And if he couldn't raise Jesus, I don't think he's going to raise any one of us. For what reason? I certainly didn't live a better life than Jesus. So I got nothing. You should raise me up, God. Well, why should I do that? Well, I'm not sure. He's not going to have an answer. Because of all the good things I've done, well, that's not a very long list. if I try and make a list of the good things I've done. Compared to who? Compared to what? So he goes on. In verse 15, more than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. If he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. Paul essentially saying, hey, I'm a liar. Because I go around all the time to different towns, to different people, and I say that God raised Jesus from the dead. And there were people out there who were saying, God doesn't do that. That's a miracle. That doesn't exist. It's outside of reality. And Paul says, if you're right, then I'm just a liar. Because I'm going around telling people that God did something that he didn't do. And if you're going to speak on God's behalf, you should probably be sure that what you're saying is actually true. And verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And essentially the word that he uses, your faith is weak. Your faith is ineffective. It can't secure any positive results. And worst of all, probably, your sins still remain. Because that's what Jesus was doing. He was dying for the sins of people. He was dying to take away the sins. John the Baptist said, look, when he saw Jesus, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes it away. One of his primary jobs. If he hasn't been raised, my sins still remain. And if my sins still remain, I've got to stand before God. And my sins are just really a record of all the ways I've offended God. All the ways I haven't kept his standard. So now there's a huge problem. I'm standing before God, and he's angry. And righteously so. Because I've broken his laws. He's told me to live in such a way, and I've said, I didn't. Whoops. That was a mistake, right? Because now God has wrath for me. He has punishment for me. Because I haven't met his standard. My sin still remains. It hasn't been forgiven. He goes on. And verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If Christ has not been raised, then all those who have died in Christ are lost. That's a sad reality to think about. You know, nobody has been saved. The people that died, that put their faith in Christ, that have already died, it was all in vain. It was a waste of time for them. They were still lost. And in verse 19, if for only this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all men. If Christ has not been raised, we are to be pitied. The world is out there just having so much fun, and we're missing out. We don't embrace those same things. We don't embrace those same values. We can take advantage of people and try and get ahead. We can, whatever it is, whatever you choose to do that is, quote, successful, that is, quote, maybe you feel like doing something that, you know, could or could not be from the Bible. So you just want to live the way you want to live. But the Christian message is, no, that's not smart. That's not wise. But essentially, if Christ has not been raised, we're going to be pitied because we're really missing out on all the things that the world says are so great. All the things that the world says, try this. All the things we could be doing right now. although it's kind of rainy. Yesterday probably was the day to go and do stuff. But you understand, all the things we could be enjoying in life. Or, you know, that's how it's viewed anyways. So he goes down the list. He creates a pretty lengthy list. If Christ hasn't been raised, here's all the things. Here's all the ways it's going to affect your life. But we have to come to verse 20, though. Because that's where he turns the corner. This is at the very bottom. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul's just given you a scenario. He says, you know, if you guys are right, because people are telling him, people have told me, well, Christ hasn't actually been raised. It's not literal. It's some kind of spiritual way to understand what happened. I would disagree. I would say he actually walked out of his own grave. And since Christ has been raised, here's some things we can say. The tomb is empty. He's not still in there. That was the message of Peter and John. That was what the women found, right? They found the empty tomb. They ran to the others and said, there's no one in there. What in the world happened? And over the next 40 days, he appears to several people. Over 500 is what Paul himself would say. Because Paul was the one of the ones that he appeared to. Since Christ has been raised, preaching is powerful. It's not useless. It can actually take somebody's... the influence of preaching can take somebody's life and change it and turn it upside down. And that's why I try to do it every Sunday. I don't always get there. But I try to preach in a helpful way because it changes people's lives. Whenever I listen to somebody preach and the Word of God is being spoken, it changes my life. Since Christ has been raised, our faith is well founded. It's not useless either. It's based on the accurate testimony of eyewitnesses. People who saw Jesus after he raised. So much so that nearly all of them went to horrible deaths. Because they would not say, no, he hasn't been raised. They would not admit. They couldn't admit. It wasn't true. He had been raised. They were going to continue to tell the message. It was a well-founded faith. Since Jesus has been raised, the testimony of the apostles is true. The apostles writing what? The New Testament in our Bibles? So their words can be trusted. They weren't lying. They weren't spreading around false rumors. Since Christ has been raised, our faith is fruitful. This is so good because it not only impacts the life to come, it enriches your life now. If you have faith in what Jesus did, you know, you can endure horrible things here because you know, like, God is still on your side. He's still for you. He's still working in your life. And when everything falls apart around you, you can say, look, this is temporary stuff. I can keep moving forward. When death looks you in the face, you can say, well, Jesus walked out of his grave. Because he did, one day I will too. Since Christ has been raised, our sins are forgiven. Oh man, this is powerful. I mean, you don't have to have this guilt in your life. If your sins are unforgiven, you're always like, man, I really messed up. You can't get out of that gutter. You're just like, I messed up again. How do I recover from that? I think this is a reason. Like suicide rates in this country are through the roof. People just, they don't see that they have hope. Right? They don't see where it comes from. They see maybe just their failures. They see just their the disappointing things they've done. The kids haven't turned out the way they wanted to. They haven't been an honest person. They haven't been a good husband or wife. Whatever it is, they just can't get over it. They failed. They haven't measured up to the standard, whatever that is. And their sins just weigh them down, and ultimately, they take their life. But how freeing is it to say, you know, I've made a horrible mess of most of my life. How helpful to say, gone. Forgive me. Tomorrow's a new day. Let's try it again. Let's try to get some of it right. Let's move on. Let's leave that stuff in the past where it is, in the past. Let's look to the future. Let's try to create the best future possible. That just gives me energy. It just makes me want to try again. Since Christ has been raised, those who died in Christ are saved. They're not lost. You'll see those people again. We'll spend eternity together. Since Christ has been raised, we are to be envied and not pitied. Because we've found the one thing that you can put your hope in that'll outlive you. You're taking that hope with you. So we're not to be pitied among the people of the world. People shouldn't be feeling sorry for us because we're somehow missing out on all the things that life has to offer. No, we found the person who has true life. Who has true hope. Who said, you know, if you come to me, your life is going to be abundant. If you come to me, your life is never going to end. Because when God looked at the life of Jesus Christ and the life that he lived, and the death that he died upon the cross for all the sins of humanity, the fact that he raised him up again was the vindication that he was a man of God, that he was God himself. He was God in the flesh. And it's really unbelievable that I could share in that resurrection. I can share in that hope. It's a contagious thing. Who doesn't want a piece of that? Who doesn't want to say, you know, yeah, life has been okay, but the true life is coming for me.
It's coming in the future. It's never going to be here, but it's going to be beyond where I can see. So we just cling to this reality of Jesus has been raised. Because if he hasn't been raised, it's totally devastating to your life. If you don't believe that he walked out of the grave, I just don't know how you're going to make it. I really don't. I don't know anything else that you're going to hope in. Because we just get older. And our bodies fall apart. That's not encouraging to me. I'm getting older. I can't do the things I once did. You know, when we were on the bike trail, my daughter's just blazing a trail. She's gone. And I'm thinking, it's not going to be long. I'm not going to be able to keep up with this girl. I don't know when that, it might be next year. You know, I don't know when that date is, but there's going to be a time. She's going to just leave me in the dump. Wait up for me. You got to wait. I'm an old man. I can't go that fast anymore. But my hope isn't in that. My hope isn't in somehow. I'm just going to keep getting better. Things are just going to keep going well. I have no guarantee of that. The only thing I can say with certainty, Jesus walked out of his grave. And he just asked a simple question. Do you want to do that? Do you want to share in that resurrection? And the invitation is out there. It's for you. It's for me. It's for everyone.